There is this incredibly specific type of anxiety that we all just sort of accepted as normal for
Oh, yeah,
years.
the digital waiting room.
Right. You're sitting at your computer, you're staring at a countdown clock, it hits zero, you frantically refresh the page, and you're just thrown into this digital queue.
And you just have to wait.
Yeah, and suddenly you're locked in a battle against invisible forces just trying to buy a concert ticket. It feels like a gamble, you know? You don't know the final price, you don't know if the system's gonna crash,
Right.
and you don't even know if you're losing out to a robot.
Well, it's a high-stress environment entirely by design. I mean,
Oh.
historically, the live events industry relied really heavily on that opacity.
Just keeping you in the dark.
Exactly. The less you understood about the mechanics of the digital queue, the more control those legacy platforms had over, pricing and inventory.
But then, I mean, you look at the landscape of live events in 2026, and that entire paradigm is shifting. Like, the architecture running festivals and concerts right now is completely invisible, but it is hyper advanced.
Oh, absolutely.
So today, we are taking a deep dive into the high-tech engine running the live events industry. Specifically, we're talking about ticketing platforms and data analytics. And we've got a really great stack of sources for you today.
Yeah, we're pulling from industry guides from modern platforms, right? Like Ticketfairy and Tixer.
Yep, those two. Plus, we have the technical documentation for this rising open source platform called HiEvents.
Which is introducing some, frankly, radical changes to the foundational business model of how event data is handled, both for the organizers and you, the attendees.
Yeah, so our mission today is to extract those aha moments from the sources. We're going to look at how modern festivals are tracking your physical behavior, how they're thwarting scalpers in real time using like your own typing speed,
Which is wild.
totally wild, and how massive data pipelines are being built to optimize your live event experience. Consider this your personal shortcut to being well informed on the invisible tech that dictates your weekend plans. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Starting right where the fan journey begins, the digital checkout line. Why do some ticket purchases feel seamless today, while the legacy systems still feel like you're, I don't know, being scammed?
I mean, it primarily comes down to transparency and system architecture.
Yeah.
So legacy ticketing models are losing ground because they relied so heavily on hidden fees and dynamic pricing.
Right, dynamic pricing.
Yeah, which is an algorithmic model where prices surge based on real-time demand. The moment 1,000 people click on a ticket, the price just artificially inflates.
It's awful.
It is. But the modern platforms you mentioned, like Tixer and Ticketfairy, they've pivoted entirely away from that. They're adopting these fan-friendly, all-in transparent pricing models. So you see the absolute total cost on page one.
Oh, before you even pick a seat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Before you click anything.
Which is such a relief. I always compare legacy dynamic pricing to like driving up to a toll booth on the highway, right? And while you're sitting in the lane with your wallet out, the operator just randomly triples the price because they see a lot of cars lined up behind you in the rearview mirror.
That's a great way to put it.
It actively punishes you for wanting to participate in the event.
Yeah, and the damage to consumer goodwill with that model is just immediate. But beyond just showing you the real price up front, these new platforms are actively expanding the pool of who can actually afford to get through that toll booth in the first place.
Right.
They're integrating flexible payments, specifically buy now, pay later, or BNPL options.
Yeah, the sources mention integrations with services like Afterpay or local bank transfers like Pioli in Australia and New Zealand. Huge events like Lollapalooza and Tomorrowland are using these installment plans to sell their expensive multi-day VIP passes.
It's a huge shift.
It really is, because breaking a $500 ticket into 4 monthly payments completely changes the psychology of the purchase. You're no longer taking this massive hit to your checking account all at
Right,
once.
it lowers the barrier to entry.
But I mean, even if you have the funds ready to go, you still have to beat the automated bots. And this is where the war on scalpers has gotten wildly futuristic.
Oh, definitely. For a long time, the defense against scalpers was incredibly primitive. Stopping a bot just meant blocking a known malicious IP address,
Like playing whack-a-mole.
basically. But automated purchasing scripts evolved. They started using these complex rotating proxy networks. So the ticketing platforms had to stop looking at where the purchase was coming from and start looking at the behavioral biometrics of the user making the purchase.
Wait, behavioral biometrics? That sounds like something out of a spy movie. So the platform isn't just looking at what you're clicking, but the actual physical manner in which you navigate the page.
That is the core mechanism, yeah. The system is silently analyzing your typing speed, the specific trajectory of your mouse movement, and the cadence of your interactions.
Wow.
Because think about how a human moves a mouse across a screen. There are microscopic imperfections. Your hand tremors slightly, you know. You overshoot the checkout button by a millimeter and correct it, or you hesitate for a split second to read a label.
And a bot doesn't do that.
Exactly. A script snaps from point A to point B with mathematical perfection, and it enters credit card details in like 0.2 seconds. By deploying predictive threat modeling, platforms identify that mathematical perfection.
And they just block it.
Right, they block the transaction before it ever even touches the ticket inventory.
That is wild. The system literally knows you're human specifically because you're a little bit clumsy and inefficient.
That's exactly it.
And it's working. I mean, look at the 2025 Taipei Music Festival. The sources highlight that they dropped scalped tickets drastically by moving to a modern system. And we're also seeing the UK government actively pushing for zero tolerance legislation on ticket gouging.
Yeah, the regulatory side is catching up.
And I do have to push back on this walled garden approach a little bit. If these platforms are locking down ticket transfers entirely to stop scalpers from moving inventory around, doesn't that just penalize the average fan?
How do you mean?
Well, if I suddenly get sick the morning of the concert and I need to give my ticket to a friend, am I just out of luck?
Ah, I see what you're saying. Well, what's fascinating here is how the architecture is designed to solve the very bottleneck it creates. Modern platforms don't just freeze the ticket to your account permanently.
Okay.
They build a secure, fan-to-fan, face-value resale marketplace directly into their own ecosystem. So if you get sick, you click a button to list your ticket on the official exchange. Another fan buys it, strictly at face value.
Oh, nice.
And then the original barcode on your phone is instantly invalidated, and a completely new, cryptographically secured dynamic barcode is generated for the buyer's device.
Ah, so it closes the loop. The scalper's entire business model just evaporates because they can't buy it and siphon it off to a third-party site for a massive profit. The ticket is only physically valid if the transfer happens inside the official ecosystem.
Right. And the consequence of closing that loop goes way beyond just defeating scalpers. It guarantees the buyer isn't getting a fake screenshot of a ticket.
Which happens all the time.
All the time. And it ensures the festival actually has the names and emergency contacts of the people walking through their gates, rather than the name of one scalper who bought 50 tickets.
Right. Which brings us to the actual physical footprint of the event. And here's where it gets really interesting. Because the ticket is no longer just a piece of paper getting you in the door, it acts as an activation key to a localized digital identity. Once you scan that dynamic barcode and walk through the gates, you're entering a space that is actively tracking your movements. It feels like stepping inside a giant physical video game. The sources detail how festivals are using NFC and RFID wristbands, mobile event apps, and an array of IoT, Internet of Things sensors to track crowd density.
We're basically looking at the total digitization of physical space. Every time you tap your wristband to buy a drink, every time your phone searches for a local Wi-Fi access point, and every time you walk past a thermal camera or a LiDAR sensor, you are generating a localized data point.
And the sheer volume of those data points is staggering. I mean, the Cowboys Music Festival used NFC technology to process 94,000 entry scans over 11 days. Unite with Tomorrowland used a system called Tap-It to process 60,000 cashless transactions. They said it drastically cut wait times.
Oh, it makes a huge difference.
But how does a festival, which is often located in the middle of a massive field with terrible cell service, handle 60,000 digital transactions without the local servers just completely crashing?
Well, they rely on localized mesh networks rather than standard cell towers.
Okay, mesh networks.
Yeah, so instead of 60,000 phones trying to hit one overloaded 5G tower, the point of sale terminals and the RFID readers communicate with each other in a closed local web.
Oh, I see.
So when you tap your wristband, the reader verifies an encrypted token locally, approves the transaction in a fraction of a second, and then batches all those transactions to sync with the main cloud server later. It makes the infrastructure highly resilient.
That makes sense.
But the real magic isn't just transaction speed. It's the real-time agility this network provides the operations team. We're talking about AI models that process all these sensor inputs to predict physical reality.
You're talking about predicting crowd surges before they happen, right? The sources mention AI processing Wi-Fi pings and footfall counters. But I need an analogy here. How does a computer know there's going to be a dangerous crowd crush 30 minutes before anyone is actually crowded?
Think of it exactly like a meteorologist tracking a storm system. The meteorologist doesn't wait to see a rain cloud over your house to tell you it's going to rain. They look at the barometric pressure drops and wind currents miles away to predict where the moisture will gather.
Right.
The AI model is doing the exact same thing, but with human bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It looks at the flow rate of people leaving a secondary stage, the transactional velocity at nearby bars, and the directional foot traffic picked up by LIDAR sensors. It calculates all those converging variables and flags, a warning that, say, a specific pathway is going to exceed its physical capacity in 20 minutes.
Okay, let's look at the case study from the sources to really ground this. A hypothetical but highly realistic 50,000-person festival. It's nighttime. A generator fails on a major walkway called the Oak Tree Path. In the old days, you wait for a security guard to literally run to a radio, call it in, panic ensues, people are tripping in the dark.
Yeah, total chaos.
But with this mesh network and sensor array...
An IQ sensor physically plugged into that generator detects the voltage drop instantly. It sends a microsecond alert to the operations center dashboard. The system immediately cross-references that blackout with the live heat maps generated by thermal cameras to see exactly how many bodies are currently on that path. Within minutes, the ops team pushes an emergency alert through the festival's mobile app, rerouting all approaching fans to an alternate route, the Maple Path.
And meanwhile, those same heat maps show that the crowd waiting at the main stage for the headliner is getting incredibly dense and likely agitated because of the delay. So the ops center sees this glowing red blob on their digital map, and they proactively dispatch roaming performers to entertain that specific quadrant, and they trigger a sponsor activation to start handing out free water to cool everyone down.
Exactly. All before a single attendee complains or gets pushed. It shifts event management entirely out of crisis response and into environmental orchestration.
I get the safety aspect, I really do. It sounds incredibly efficient. But as an attendee, tracking my thermal body heat, logging my Wi-Fi pings to see how long I stand near a stage, how do attendees feel about this level of surveillance? Frankly, it sounds a little dystopian. It's like surveillance capitalism applied to a concert.
It is a profound privacy trade-off, no question. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the counter-argument from the industry is that they are shifting from reactive crowd control, which historically has led to devastating, fatal crowd crushes, to proactive safety.
Yeah, that's fair.
And when you look at consumer behavior, attendees routinely trade passive data when the immediate result is a dramatically better experience. You know, shorter beer lines, functioning restrooms, and avoiding physical danger.
I hear that, but we're still talking about vacuuming up thousands of data points on a person's physical location. I don't know if shorter beer lines justifies total tracking.
Well, that tension is exactly why the technical mechanism of the tracking matters. The thermal and LIDAR data is fundamentally aggregate and anonymized by its very nature.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, a LIDAR sensor, which works by shooting out invisible laser pulses to measure distance, doesn't see a face or a smartphone ID. It creates a 3D point cloud of a physical space. It only sees moving volumes.
Oh. So they don't know that I, specifically, am standing by the speaker for 2 hours. They just register that a human shape is occupying that space and that there are 500 other human shapes in a zone meant for 300.
Precisely. They're tracking the heartbeat of the crowd as a single organism rather than tracking individual identities through the physical space.
That makes me feel a bit better.
Yeah, and it actually brings us to the most critical tension in this entire industry right now. If a festival is generating this astronomical amount of data, from ticket checkouts to localized RFID taps to app usage, who actually owns the pipeline?
Right. Let's get into the behind-the-scenes power struggle of 2026, because you can't run an AI predictive model if you don't have access to the raw data.
Yes, exactly. Under the legacy model, the old ticketing giants hoarded almost all attendee data. A local promoter would spend millions to throw a massive festival. The ticketing platform would process the sales, but the platform kept the emails, the purchasing habits, the demographic profiles, and the payment data.
So what does this all mean for the people actually throwing the party? It's like throwing a dinner party at a rented hall. You pay for all the food, you hire the band, you do all the work, but the landlord refuses to tell you the names of your own guests.
It's wild, isn't it?
It is. And worse, they use your guest list to invite people to their own parties. The sources explicitly note that legacy platforms would use a promoter's attendees to market competitor events.
It was a structural stranglehold. It completely stifled the independent promoter's ability to grow a loyal audience. Now, those promoters are drawing a line in the sand. They're demanding 100% data ownership and insisting on clear, legally binding contract clauses that ensure data portability.
Because that's the only way to market the next year's event.
Right. Having that first-party data is the only way to effectively market without relying entirely on expensive, unpredictable social media algorithms.
Plus, relying on a massive, centralized third party to hold all that data has proven to be a catastrophic security risk. We have to talk about the 2024 Ticketmaster breach. Hackers known as Shiny Hunters exposed the personal data of over 500 million customers.
Just unbelievable numbers.
500 million people had their information compromised because it was all sitting in one giant vault. It was a massive wake-up call for the entire live events sector. Now, compliance with stringent privacy frameworks like GDPR in Europe and CCPA in California is absolutely non-negotiable.
Yeah, that breach proved that centralizing half the world's live event data creates an incredibly lucrative target for threat actors.
Yeah.
And this exact dynamic, you know, the desire for data ownership combined with the fear of centralized data breaches, has sparked what we can call the open source rebellion.
The open source rebellion, I love that.
The sources highlight a rising platform called HiEvents, which offers a completely inverted model. It's a self-hosted AGPL 3.0 open source event ticketing software.
Okay, open source ticketing. Let's break down how that actually functions, both for a promoter and for the fan buying the ticket.
Sure. Instead of paying a ticketing giant a massive percentage of every single ticket sold, organizers can simply download the HiEvents software code base for free and host it on their own private servers like AWS or DigitalOcean.
For free?
Yep. The promoters pay $0 in platform fees. The only mandatory fee is the standard credit card processing fee charged by a service like Stripe.
And the technical requirements are shockingly lightweight. The documentation states the core software runs smoothly on just 2 CPU cores and 4 gigabytes of RAM. But why should you, the listener, the fan, care about a promoter's server specs?
That's a good question.
It matters because if promoters are saving millions of dollars by eliminating platform fees, that theoretically trickles down to the checkout page. Those mystery $40 convenience fees that infuriate everyone could finally vanish.
And that is the ultimate consumer promise of open source architecture. And for the promoter, because the software lives entirely on their own server, they maintain absolute 100% control of their data. They aren't asking a corporate monolith for permission to see who bought tickets to their own show.
But if HiEvents is completely free, what's the catch? Why wouldn't every single independent festival in the world just download this software tomorrow and save themselves millions?
Well, this raises an important question about technical overhead. Free open source software is free, as in free speech, but not necessarily free as in free beer.
Ah, right.
You're trading a platform fee for IT payroll. You need a highly tech-savvy team to deploy the software, secure the servers, and maintain the database. If your self-hosted server crashes the moment 10,000 people rush to buy tickets, you don't have a 247 corporate support hotline to call.
Oh, that's stressful.
Very. It is entirely on your internal IT team to get the system back online.
Right. And there is another catch with that AGPL 3.0 license the sources mentioned. Open source licenses usually come with strings attached.
They do. The AGPL 3.0 is what's known as a copyleft license. Think of it like a recipe. You can use the recipe in your restaurant for free, but you're legally required to put the original author's name on the menu.
Oh, I see.
In this context, organizers must prominently display Powered by HiEvents on their checkout pages. If a major luxury brand or a massive festival wants to remove that branding and have a pure, white-label visual experience, they have to purchase a commercial license from the developers.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it perfectly highlights the modern promoter's dilemma. The choice between the plug-and-play convenience of a managed platform like Ticket Fairy versus the absolute control and zero-fee structure of self-hosting.
Okay, so let's synthesize this. Let's say a festival wins this data war. They secure total ownership of their audience metrics, either by deploying an open source tool or by negotiating an ironclad contract with a modern platform. What is the ultimate business payoff? Like, how does owning this granular data actually make the festival better for the fan while also making the event more profitable?
The payoff basically manifests in three main areas: deep personalization, gamified referral programs, and strategic upsells. The sources indicate that 50% of festivals are now actively using their own data to personalize the fan experience. Because when you aren't guessing who's attending, you can heavily curate your outreach.
The California Wine Festival example in the sources is a brilliant illustration of this. They owned their data, they mapped out the ZIP codes of all their past attendees, and they found hidden pockets of fans in untapped neighboring cities.
That's so smart.
Yeah, they targeted those specific geographic areas with localized alumni discounts, and they boosted their out-of-town sales by 15%. You simply cannot execute that strategy if your ticketing partner is hiding the ZIP codes from you.
Exactly. And you can leverage that exact same data infrastructure to turn your existing fans into a decentralized marketing engine. Built-in automated referral programs are becoming industry standard. Take New Zealand's Bay Dreams Festival.
Right.
They dramatically reduced their reliance on expensive Facebook ads by offering a built-in reward to their own audience. If a fan sold 5 tickets to their friends using a unique, trackable referral link, the fan automatically received a free VIP upgrade.
That is incredibly smart. It just gamifies the group planning process. Instead of one person reluctantly buying all the tickets and chasing people for money on Venmo, your attendees are eagerly texting their group chat saying, "Hey, make sure you buy through my link so I get the VIP pass."
It completely flips the dynamic.
Yeah. And the data shows that these automated referral programs can boost total ticket sales by 15 to 25%. But the revenue optimization doesn't stop at the initial ticket sale. This granular data allows platforms to offer highly targeted upsells right at the checkout screen.
Right, because a VIP ticket can generate 2 to 5 times the revenue of a standard general admission ticket. But beyond tiered ticketing, it's about perfectly timed add-ons.
Like what?
Well, the sources mentioned a boutique yoga festival in Bali. By presenting a $99 prepaid meal plan right at the exact moment of checkout, 40% of the attendees purchased it. They captured massive amounts of revenue months before the physical event even started.
I have to admit, upselling often gets a bad rap. It can feel like dealing with a pushy car salesman trying to sell you the rust undercoating before you drive off the lot.
Yeah.
But if a platform analyzes the data, sees that I'm buying 4 weekend passes, and gently suggests adding a single group camping pass and prepaid meal vouchers so my friends and I don't have to worry about splitting cash on site, it stops feeling like a salesman. Is it actually acting more like a helpful concierge?
That is exactly the shift in perspective the data provides.
Yeah.
Hard data turns generic, annoying marketing into a highly curated service. If the suggested upsell is highly relevant to the fan's actual logistical needs, it actively removes friction from their weekend. When data is leveraged correctly, maximizing the revenue per attendee aligns perfectly with maximizing the fan's comfort and overall experience.
And it isn't just the fans who are demanding this level of curation. The corporate sponsors are demanding it too, right? The days of a promoter walking up to a brand and saying, "Hey, we estimate we had 10,000 people walk past your tent today. Please write us a check for the sponsorship," are entirely over.
Oh, completely over. Sponsors want digital level analytics in the physical world. Because the promoter now owns the entire data pipeline, they can prove their exact value.
They have the receipts.
They have the literal receipts. They can hand a sponsor a dashboard report showing exactly how many unique RFID badge scans they received at their branded booth, that the average physical dwell time in their lounge was exactly 5.5 minutes, and that their banner in the mobile event app received a precise number of digital impressions. That indisputable hard data is what secures multi-year, highly lucrative sponsorships.
So to pull all of this together, the live events industry has undergone this massive invisible upgrade. We've moved away from those frustrating, bot-filled checkouts of the past, evolving toward transparent pricing and behavioral biometrics that track, like, microtremors in your mouse.
Which is still crazy to me.
So crazy. And we've seen how our physical spaces are being digitized with localized mesh networks, RFID tracking, and LiDAR point clouds to proactively predict crowd surges and prevent disasters.
Right.
And we've uncovered the intense, high-stakes battle for data ownership, whether that's through demanding better contracts or deploying open source server hosted tech like HiEvents. It is a staggering amount of invisible architecture required just to ensure you have a seamless time at a concert.
It really is a remarkable convergence of software and physical infrastructure. And, you know, the natural evolution of all this localized data collection leads to a really fascinating premise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As IoT sensors and predictive AI become perfectly attuned to anticipating our physical behavior and measuring our exact dwell times at live events, How long until the physical infrastructure of festivals becomes completely modular?
Wait, modular? Like moving the actual architecture of the festival around while it's happening?
Imagine a future where the physical walls, the primary pathways, and even the stages themselves are mounted on tracks or automated platforms.
Whoa.
They could physically move and adapt in real time. If the LiDAR sensors detect a bottleneck forming, a wall slowly shifts to widen a pathway.
That's insane.
If an artist draws a massive, unexpected crowd, the stage orientation seamlessly rotates to accommodate the overflow, responding instantly to the collective, data-driven desires of the crowd.
That is mind-blowing. The physical festival literally breathing and shifting based on the data heartbeat of the attendees. It makes that digital waiting room anxiety we talked about at the beginning feel like ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
The invisible forces aren't working against you anymore. They are actively building the world around you in real time.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the high-tech engine powering your weekend. Keep asking questions, keep looking past the surface, and stay curious. See you next time.